Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Oh my, this is quite wonderful. Old friends have returned, and new friends have been brought here by Yap in a wonderful way. Welcome, everyone. So good to see you. And so glad you could be here. Let's do introductions around.
Ellie, Judy,
Peter,
Leslie,
Ross,
Jake, Karen,
Paul, Jeffrey,
Wendy,
Marie,
Yap,
Ron,
Angie. How was it?
It just was so good. It flowed really nicely, you know. And by the last night and this morning actually, we did karaoke with the whole group, and everyone was new. So there was like 10 of us, and there wasn't even anyone there from Jokoji, but it just went really well. So it was cool to see how quickly the group picked up all these like tiny little rituals, you know. Yeah, and everyone in all the Jokoji residents, they were just really helpful in making it happen.
Yes.
So that was really awesome to see, too.
Oh, they were thrilled.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had such a nice closing ceremony, you know? You know, people didn't know each other before, but it really bonded, so.
Yes.
Without even saying anything.
Even inside, especially in silence.
Yeah.
It's so intimate.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 5 days?
Yes.
5 days. In the cold and the wind and the wet up at Jokoji. Over the new year. What a great way to start the year. Superb.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. And my mom came with her fiance, and we had never met, so it was the first time that we met. We spent 5 days in silence. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What could be more perfect?
Right.
Well, you should be proud.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Yes, I bet. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We're stepping off into who knows what one more time. And as usual, it will be full of surprises. So, anticipation, too much anticipation doesn't help. Just be ready to be surprised without leaving the present moment too much. Just enjoy where and when we are and see what happens from here. And here is right here with the Platform Sutra, which is Red Pine's translation of a very ancient document, a teaching by a Chinese man who was supposed to have been illiterate and who heard someone saying a little piece of the Diamond Sutra about not being attached to anything. And somehow it struck him as so wise and so right that he wanted to know more. So he asked, where did you hear about that? And he was told that it was 1,000 miles to the north. There was a teacher. So he left his old mother and took off for the temple way in the north and the teacher up there. And eventually moved back to South China and became a very, very important teacher in Zen. His teaching was really defining and still defines Zen and Zazen practice, which is why we keep coming back and studying it again, because it's essential to our understanding of this untalkaboutable practice that we have to say something about. He was very simple. He always introduced his talks by addressing good friends. He did not put on airs, but simply met kindly with people and enthusiastically with people, which always pleases me. We're about halfway through, and we're just about finished with part two. This is the way that Red Pine has arranged it, in which we get a long poem again. Not as complicated as the first one. The master said, "Good friends, if you wish to practice this, you can do it at home too." This is one reason we study this. It often looks like it's just a practice for monks. In fact, in Japan, they will tell you this. If you tell them that you're practicing at home, they can't believe it. They think it's only for monks to do. Zazen is too hard for ordinary people. So, Wei Neng says, it doesn't require living in a monastery. If you live in a monastery and don't practice, you're like those people in the paradise who think bad thoughts. And if you practice at home, you're like the people here in the East who perform good deeds. As long as you resolve to cultivate purity within yourselves, that is the Western paradise. You make it yourself. So they ask, how can we do this? How do we practice at home? And this is the answer. Good friends, I have composed a song of formlessness for both clerics and lay people. If you all recite this and put this into practice, you will never be apart from me. My song goes like this. Versed in words and versed in thoughts like the sun in the sky, transmitting their teacher directly, appearing in the world to vanish false doctrines, it isn't their teaching that's direct or not, but awareness that's quick or slow. Foolish people who study this teaching can't understand the Dharma directly. There must be 10,000 ways to explain it, but all are based on one rule. In your dark house of afflictions, keep the sun of wisdom shining. Falsehood arrives because of afflictions. When truth appears, afflictions depart. Letting truth and falsehood be nothing is left to purify. Enlightenment is already pure. The thought of it is a delusion. But inside delusion is purity. Once truth removes the three obstructions. If you follow the way in this world, let nothing block your path. Paying attention to your own mistakes will keep you in step with the way. The way dwells in this bodily likeness. Don't leave the way to look for the way. You won't find the way that way. All you'll find is trouble. If you want to find the true way, to cultivate truth is the way. Unless your mind is set on the truth, you'll pass it by in the dark. People who truly follow the way don't consider the faults of the world. Those who consider the wrongs of the world only add to their own. I don't condemn the faults of others. My own wrongs are what I'm after. Just get rid of thoughts about wrongs, and all your afflictions will shatter. If you would then teach foolish people, you'll need to use skillful means. If you can rid them of doubts, their enlightenment is certain. The Dharma is in the world beyond the world. Don't run away from the world to find a place beyond the world. False views make up the world. True views are the world beyond. When true and false are both dismissed, your Buddha nature will be manifest. This is simply the straightforward teaching also known as the Mahayana. Delusion lasts countless kalpas. Awareness takes but an instant. Well, Koban said about this, practicing in one's own way requires trusting oneself. And it often happens that we project onto ideas and others as the truth that's going to save us. Oh, they must know. But the real truth we already carry in our own wisdom and our own depth. That's the basic message here. Thinking about enlightenment is a delusion. And of course, it seems like Zen practice is all about getting enlightened, but it's not. It's to acknowledge and accept and admit and trust that sitting itself is enlightenment itself. And that we ourselves are wise. That we ourselves are the Dharma. Some of Koban's words about this. About at home, just practice at home. Anyone can practice. Just do it at home. Koban says, at home has a double meaning here. It is where one takes the master's position. When you're home, you're the master. You're it. There's no hierarchy. One thinks, I'm the center. This refers to how you live your life, not depending on the conduct of others. Regarding afflictions, the ideal state is when we are born. We don't have the idea of possessions. This is mine. We don't know what's inside and outside. It's a chaos-like state. We all originally exist in this way. On top of that basic condition, we put society and our different ways of life. That's how we got here. He says, if one departs from one's own way, at first, he says, you don't know your own way, so you look outside. If you say to the world, pay attention to your Buddha nature, not everyone listens. I myself, when I don't pay attention, begin to wonder if I'm just a blind bastard. But Buddha nature is not jade or common rock. It is more like the soil which nurtures plants or is made into pots. Even when you're doubting, you don't lose it. Instead, you come to the end of your delusion and you're saved. You see your true nature. It's like a condemned man who has a chance to see the priest, someone who really believes you, who truly reflects yourself. The problem is how to trust in others, teachers, parents, and friends. If you can trust, there's no need to choose your direction. Also said about criticizing others, if ourselves and others are very similar, there is nothing to say. But if we find something missing, it means we see what is missing in another as we miss it in ourselves. Then the world comes between you. There is no kindness or positive feelings to relate to this imperfection. So this sounds like it's talking about us, about each one of us, but it's especially talking about our connection with others. There is no us without others, and no others without us. Red Pine says we can't hide from our own minds. That's the truth when we sit, isn't it? And that's the mercy of our sitting, is that it gives us access to admit the occasional chaos that goes on in our mind. The strange kind of things that we would not necessarily accept or admit and could overlook if we were just rushing around. But sitting down, it all comes up. So Weinang says, good friends, if you all recite this verse and practice in accordance with it, even if we're 1,000 miles apart, you'll always be by my side. And if you don't practice in accordance with it, even if we're face to face, you'll be 1,000 miles away. Each of you must practice yourselves. The Dharma won't do it for you. In my early years with Koban, I always felt like I wanted to sit in his lap and suck my thumb. You know? just tell me what to do, Koban. Life is so complicated. And he kept saying, it's all up to you. And send me back home. It's all up to you. And then I'd sit some more. And although it seems very strange to people who don't sit, that really is the best answer. If you don't know what to do, just sit down for a while. Let it cook in you. So then he's sending them away now. This is the end of this section. So it's time for you all to leave and for me to return to the mountain. So if you have any questions, you better come to the mountain. I'll get rid of them for you, and you'll all see your Buddha nature." And the whole audience bowed to the master, and everyone sighed. What a great realization. How unprecedented. Who would have guessed that we would be blessed with a Buddha right here in Lingnan? And then everybody left. So Red Pine says, each of us must practice ourselves. No one else can do it for us. No one can take our place. He said the rest of this sutra amounts to so much Buddhist shop talk. This was also the Buddha's last instruction to his disciples. If you want anything done right, you have to do it yourself. He says, when we have no more questions, only our Buddha nature remains. It also is Buddha world. So, are there questions? This is a kind of winding up of this platform teaching. And then there are many encounters that come after, all of which are very interesting and some of which are classic and often referred to in Zen teaching. But we're all practicing at home, so this should resonate in some way. Although now and then, we run away to the monastery and take a little time like that. I'm very lucky to have a monastery close by. And it's important to do that. Questions? Yes, Lake?
Yes. I don't have questions, but I want to share some of my experience in the last few weeks.
Good.
So I took a trip to China, and I got an opportunity to be to visit one of the most famous temples in Beijing, and have a chance to talk to the masters.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very interesting conversation, because at lunch, the master were talking about how there are two different types of Zen, and then they didn't know that I'm practicing Sabbati Kagra. One is called just sit, and the other one is for the master to give a question,
mm-hmm.
and the student to think about it, and that's how they get the enlightenment. So the two different styles, and how it was transferred, how it was I was carried from China to Japan, and then actually in Japan they kept most of the tradition. The other thing that was very interesting, that I was asking questions about, think about the translation, the Buddhism nature. So I asked the question, was it born? Was it through sudden enlightenment or through practice? So the monk's answer was, everyone was born as a Buddha. It just sometimes nature get lost along the way. So through practice, you can see more and more. So that was, in fact, the way you just talked about.
Thank you. Did you take your family?
No, it was a business trip.
A business trip.
It was a business trip, and the temple was famous because they are using modern technology. So it was interesting because they used chatbot, social media, to create this virtual little monk, very cute, and they will talk to different people through chat messengers. Talk about giving, in a very casual way, to give a talk about Buddhism and then kind of spread it. And it was very interesting because it's a lot smaller than Siri. So for work reasons, so I went to investigate.
I see.
Yeah, and I got the opportunity to talk to the masters that in charge of the program, and actually I think it was equivalent to the master of the library of the temple.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In the old days.
In the old days.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a techie.
Yeah, it's very techie.
A techie monk.
PhDs of computer science, maybe from the best university.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. But it was interesting to hear that when they talk about the nature and how to practice is very similar. Even after so many years, then we learned that from Kogen version from Japan.
Yeah.
It traced many, many years back to China. And then today, still the root of them is very, very similar.
Yes.
It's
still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just woke up again. It's wonderful. Thank you. Karen?
So this is talking about how we are working, being with other people, and there's a lot of discussion about don't call somebody out and tell them they're wrong. And I hope this isn't one of those questions that I should figure out myself, but I really keep gearing up for a fight with the administration coming up and just decisions which I feel are wrong directions. So there I am, calling people out and telling them I think they're wrong. And I guess, you know, I'm really bothering my partner because I keep saying this sort of conflict with what we're discussing in here. Honestly, it's like, well, what did the Buddhists think of Martin Luther King? You know, surely they don't have a problem with Martin Luther King, who fought for...
No, it's not as black and white as you're describing. It doesn't work like that. It's not that we accept everything and let it go. It's that we accept all the information that comes to us as sentient beings, as eyes, ears, nose, and tongue, and mind, the information, we are informed by the world as it passes into our body and our mind. And from that information, then, if we're awake and allow ourselves to see it as clearly as we can, then we know how to act. And the action does not have to be negative. It can be corrective. If wisdom is telling you that there's another way that's better, then you can go right out there and try to make that better way. in the face of someone who's doing another thing. So it's always taking a risk and putting your wisdom, the truth of your truth of things, at risk in the world. And yet it's the only way that we know how to proceed. And so it doesn't have to be a war. It doesn't have to be a fight. It can just be standing up for your own truth and your openness to the wisdom of others, to really listen and be willing to change your mind if you are persuaded that somebody else knows better than you in one way or another. So it's not so extremely one way or the other. It's always a mush. And we never quite know. And we're always, I think, doing a kind of what I call a drunken stagger. That the truth and the right way is right this way or this way. And we keep passing it. And, oh, this is the right way. And then, oops, we lose our balance. And then we go over this. Oh, here we are. And then, oops, we lose our balance. And as we practice more and more, we become more familiar with this way, our own truth. Mm-hmm. And we can trust it more. And feel able to speak it up and express it without adding emotional stuff to it, unnecessary emotional stuff to it. So Martin Luther King, yeah.
That was the test.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up question. So isn't truth our all perspective of each other, different people?
Sure.
So I have my truth, so that's my perspective, and it's all true to me. And you may have your perspective, it's all true to you, based on the things you know. So it's all those are perspectives, isn't it?
It is. And so our work is to find common ground, because we all belong to each other. We're all brothers and sisters, you could say. We're all kin. And so it's important to develop our relationship and not be so particular about my ideas, but be very interested in other people's ideas and open to both sides. So the whole thing keeps moving and doesn't get stuck somewhere.
So there's no truth. Is there truth? Is there truth? There's no truth.
There is. It just keeps changing. So one moment something is important, and the next moment it's passed by and something else has come up. And so it's important to stay awake. Our tendency, I think, is to work hard and try to figure things out and then think we've got it and kind of let things go and let them go by us until something happens. And then, oops, then we wake up and think, oh my word, I should know more about this. It's helpful to live slowly, if possible, so that we don't have to keep getting hit on the side of the head now and then, but to just stay awake, quietly awake, so that you're more available to things as they actually occur. Well, it's 8:00. Announcements?
I have an announcement regarding Pope Peter. You're going to need a new opener for a while.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anybody here that thinks they could sign up to be one person to open? You can have more than one opener for sure. Please see me afterwards, and I'll let Marie know. And I'd like to mention that we're having a half-day sit on January 14th, Saturday, 9 to 12 here. I think that's all the announcements.
Okay.